let's head on up to the Mobile Tensaw Delta. We've had a lot of rain lately. The rivers are on the rise. Captain Wayne Miller, what does that mean?
Well, Joe, you know, it really dirtied the water up. You know, the good news is the water's cooled off a bunch, and that's what we've been waiting on. The bad news is it's not only cold, it's muddy. So, you know, but that's the main rivers, and that's something that you really have to consider, because this is the time of the year when the bulk of the fish migrate up in the creeks on the lower end. So there are areas where you can find that cleaner water, and when you do, you can catch them. I mean, I've been on the water the last 2 days, went this morning, and caught some really good fish up in the creek. But, you know, it's a situation where you've got to really, you know, get out there and investigate and find that cleaner water. And but, you know, the water temperature this morning, when I first got out there, the first creek I ran into, water temp was down about 56, 57 degrees. So it's really, you know, cooled off significantly.
Where did fall go, man? It seemed like just a few weeks ago we were complaining about how hot it was, and then all of a sudden the water's 56 degrees.
Hey, yeah, well, you know, it. But like I say, you know, it's going to be good. It's, you know, just a scenario where, you know, that real good bite will really get back in full swing once we, you know, get that water cleaned up.
Wayne, let me backtrack to what you said. The key takeaway that I heard was focus on clean water.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, before we get to that, is it possible to catch fish in dirty water?
Oh, yeah, man. I caught some fish this morning out on some of the main rivers that are actually, I mean, you know, it's, you know, they're pretty stained. Most people would say muddy, but, I mean, they're stained up pretty good. But, you know, something you have to keep in mind, you know, with our system, these fish are acclimated to stained and dirty water. I mean, our water just doesn't get that clean very often. So, you know, out in the main rivers, if you want to fish out there in that dirtier water, I can tell you, man, the thing I have targeted is hard cover and really thick matted stuff. And by hard cover, I'm talking about wood.
Right.
You know, when you get around a piece of wood that's on a drop or, you know, coming off a bank, what you want to do is really, and most of these fish I'm catching on plastic, and I'm using darker colors like black and, you know, June bug, because even in stained water, you know, those darker colors have such a phenomenal contrast to the water itself. These fish can see it. So, but, you know, what I'm doing is getting in there and really bumping and grinding that bait all over that hard cover. Now, you know, being the wood. Now, the other thing that I mentioned was matted stuff, and that's primarily concerning grass. When you've got grass mats, and, you know, especially if you've got some good depth, you know, on a, like a vertical bank on an outside bend, and you've got some grass on it, you can pull up there and punch that plastic down through it. Pretty much the same thing. You're using darker colors, and, you know, those fish are, you know, they're locked down on that cover that they're holding on, and, you know, you can really catch some good fish this time of year.
Wayne, give me some pointers on how to key in on clean water. What areas are going to produce clean water?
Well, you know, a lot of the guys that fish this time of year, because, you know, we have, you know, there's a lot of guys that pretty much put the boats up this time of year and concentrate on deer hunting. But the guys that do fish, they know these creeks that clean up pretty quick. And we've got a tremendous number of creeks, both on the east and the west side of the Delta, that on a heavy local rain, they muddy and stain up, but they clean up quick. And, you know, the great thing is no higher than what this high water event that we're under right now has gotten. Just about all the creeks on both sides of the Delta are cleaning up really good. So So, you know, I mean, even for people that, you know, are kind of new to fishing this time of year, you know, what I would encourage them to do is just come off that main river and really pay attention to that water clarity. And when you start seeing it clean up as you run back into one of these creeks, then what you want to start looking for is bait, you know, on your electronics. And if you don't see that, you know, you can just start fishing some of the outside bends where you've got a little bit deeper water and, you know, just work your way back in the creek. But there's plenty of good, clear water to fish.
All right, Captain Wayne. Well, heck of a report, man. We appreciate it. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
Okay, Joe. Same to you, buddy.
All right. The word of the day is turbidity. So, Richard Rutland, what's the water conditions like where you've been fishing? We know we've got some muddy water up in the Delta. What's going on around Mobile Bay?
Man, kind of just what Wayne was talking about there was how a lot of the creeks, you know, are starting to clean up in the same, you know, in the Delta, and the same thing's starting to happen in the lower end of the bay. We just had all that big rain event last week, and some of the water in those in the tidal rivers along the bay have already started to clean up and get good and produce some fish.
I know that Fowl River's been a hot spot in terms of people. How's the fishing been?
The fishing's been good. The crowds have been crowds in the river have been tough. I feel like a lot of that boat traffic will really shut the fish down. And something maybe to note to everybody, you know, I feel like we'd all catch a lot more fish in some of those rivers if people would try to idle around some of those areas to kind of keep the fish at least under a biting condition to where they're not running for their lives from all these boats that are buzzing through.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Richard. I don't mean to preach, but having grown up on a tidal river and fished them quite a bit, I've witnessed that firsthand. You know, you be on a good bite, have some fish biting, and then a boat run by, and the bite literally it will stop for 15 minutes. And if you stay there, you'll continue to catch fish, but it takes a while of things, you know, not having any commotion for those fish to turn back on.
It really does, and it really doesn't take you that much longer to get where you're going if you just slow down and idle past people, kind of just be somewhat respectful if you can. I try to do it as much as I can for everybody. But
all right, well, you slapped everybody on the hand. So what about those rivers, man? I mean, are those fish keyed up on the points? Are they more into flats areas? Is there a pattern?
I've been mostly staying shallow. I haven't really gone deep with like a grub or anything like that and finding these fish really honing in on the deeper parts. They're still up on the flats, on the edges. Like you said, the points are good where you get good water movement around them. I'll tell you one thing, they definitely shut down around these nip tides when you don't have any water movement. So one thing I'll do is find, you know, little pinch areas, little pinch points where you got a big body of water kind of coming into a smaller body of water or vice versa, and you'll find a little bit more current in those areas.
Would that be like a creek mouth coming out of marsh grass, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, or really more like if we're talking about Fowl River, where you have the big main part of the river and then you hit the T right there before Bellengrass. That's kind of where you have a big body of water pinching down to two smaller smaller areas of the river, and that increases water movement there. So that'll kind of help you find some movement, moving water.
Well, Richard, I know those rivers have got some good, you know, good trout, good redfish. You probably pick up a flounder or two if you fish for them. But when you're, let's backtrack a little bit and let's talk about the points in these rivers. Okay. When you come up to a point and you're going to fish it, is there an approach you take across the board? Do you do different things based on the tides? How do you really fish a point effectively if you don't know the landscape of the bottom?
And a mistake I really see a lot of folks make when fishing some of these points is they'll pull right up to and throw their lure right at the bank and be trying to land their lure close to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is the case that the fish will be there if you have higher water levels. So being aware of your tide is number one, tide level, you know, are you fishing low water or high water?
Mm-hmm.
And then with speckled trout, I usually catch them out off of the point a good little ways. It's usually not right up on the bank. It's going to be you know, sometimes as far as 100, 150 yards out off of these points sometimes. So as far as an approach, I would say start way out and work your way in, or either come in kind of shallow and work your way out, depending on how it sets up.
Yeah, it seems like what you're saying is, you know, maybe get on your trolling motor first if you've got one, or just get far away from the point, upwind or up current, whichever way is winning that day, and cast as far as you can up to that point. Then when you get bit, you're as far away from the fish as you can be. Go ahead and slip your power pole down or your anchor over, and you'll get a better idea of where those fish are, as opposed to a lot of times, I know for a fact, people are fishing and the fish are right underneath them.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's a lot of people's mistake. You know, you're going to use the lightest means necessary to find the fish.
All right, Captain Richard. Well, folks want to book a trip with you and get out on the water some this fall and this winter, how do they do it?
Man, coldbloodedfishing.com. I've got a Facebook page. That's Cold-Blooded Fishing as well. And then you can just message through my website or through Facebook, man.
All right, Richard. Well, have a good Thanksgiving, buddy.
All right, you too. Y'all catch them up.
And let's head on down to the Gulf of Mexico. We're talking to Captain Matthew Isbell, better known as the Bama Beach Bum. Matthew, what is going on in the surf, son?
What's up, Joe? Man, other than cold and windy, all these northwest winds that we keep getting, man, it's frigid. But out on the beach, but we're seeing a lot of really big whiting. That's kind of our primary target for the fall, and people that I take with me, they're just shocked at how big these whiting are and how feisty they are. But we're also picking up 2 to 4 pompano each trip, which can be expected. This is our quote-unquote fall pompano run. It's kind of like a little mini run where we get another decent amount of them, but it's not nothing like spring.
Are you picking up those pompano? You had talked, I've talked with you before about whiting, and one of the things you had mentioned is going to a Carolina rig as opposed to fishing just a set rig, and you like fish bites on yeah. those for whiting. Are you catching pompano on those Carolina rigs as well, or is it mostly, are those coming from set rigs put in a different spot?
I use both, especially if it's real slow. Something that has been proven successful is using a tiny piece of fish bite on a Carolina rig and using it like a jig almost, just bouncing it back. We picked up some really nice size pompano doing that, and that a lot of guys like to use pompano jigs, pick them up in the spring, but this time of year there's just not as many in these schools that are coming through. So something with a little scent, using those fish bites definitely help kind of get their attention.
Setting up that Carolina rig, are you using a kale hook, or are you staying with circle hooks?
I love circle hooks. That's kind of a thing, and it's just so nice when you get them on, you're not going to lose them pretty much. So, I use real small circle hooks, though, like right now, because the water's been real clear. I mean, just super clear the last week or so. And so I'm really downsized my tackle. I'm using 8-pound and 10-pound mono leaders with size 6 circle hooks. I mean, just real tiny stuff. So that's what I prefer, especially when you get this real clear condition. You want to be real discreet with your stuff.
Why mono instead of fluorocarbon?
Well, mono floats a little bit, and fluorocarbon sinks. So I like to kind of suspend the bait, especially like on a Carolina rig, a fish bite, or even on my pompano rigs. I prefer to use mono when I can, just because it does kind of help suspend that bait just a little bit, whereas that fluorocarbon can sink.
That makes a lot of sense. I never have thought about trying to mix up the leader material, but that's a really good idea. Now, you talked about pompano, you talked about whiting. With the whiting bite, are you finding them in the exact same spots as the pompano, or where are you catching most of these fish? Is it biting in the trough, or are they on the bar?
No, great question. A lot of people have been reaching out to me lately because they've been struggling. It's been a tough bite this past week with the neap tides and clear, calm conditions, because, with these north winds, it's just laying the Gulf down. And so you have no surf, especially no surf for multiple days. Mm-hmm. That can make it really tough. And these whiting have really been stacking up. They're not real spread out. They've really been stacking up in these deeper holes close to the beach. So you've really got to find those pockets if you're going to have a successful day, you know, getting a lot of fish. If you're just fishing any old stretch of beach, it's going to be real slow for you. So you got to really pay attention to that. But the pompano are mainly hanging out further. So what I'm doing is I'm focusing on the whiting. I've got, you know, a couple of rigs in those holes that I can find close to the beach. And then I'll put, like, one set rig just out far. And then if it gets slow, we'll start bouncing that Carolina rig, kind of, you know, move around and cover some water to locate them.
Good advice. Good advice. All right, folks, if y'all are interested in surf fishing, check out Matthew's YouTube channel, Bama Beach Bum. Thanks, Matthew.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, let's switch gears and head on upstate a little bit to Miller's Ferry. Joe Dunn, what's going on Miller's Ferry, man? Has the water come down at all?
Oh, yeah, it's done fell out. Not completely, but it's getting real close. And they're going to start, probably done close some of those floodgates now. So it's slowed it down a little bit. And actually, when you after you have a high water like this, it's going to really, really bunch those crappie up. So now, right after this, go to hunting those ledges with those tops and big rocks on the rock walls and stuff like that, and get behind them with your, you know, your drop shot rig or your bottom bounce rig with that minnow with a, you can put a glove on there too, and you ought to really be able to rack up on them right now.
Explain that. Why did the crappie bunch up after a high water?
Well, you just got all that swift current, and obviously he's going to have to get somewhere to not stay fighting that current the whole time. And that's when they'll get behind those where the little eddy pockets are. Mm. Any structure that's sticking out in the water or a point that sticks out and causes it to the main part of the current to flare back out in the middle of the river. And that's where they're going to be, in those pockets behind that. Any rocks that you may not see, but usually I like to get on some of those outside edges of the big bends in the river on those rock walls now, and you kind of feel around, and you can, with that drop shot rig, you can feel when you're up on top of something and then when you drop off of it and then get right behind that, and then that's usually where you're going to be hunting for the fish at too, right there right now.
Well, what about catfish? How's this going to affect them?
It should still be some out in the river, but it's going to push them up closer to the just like the crappie now, around the ledges and behind the rocks.
And you mentioned last week that you're catching catfish and crappie in the same spots, right?
Exactly. They're going to all be hiding behind something. And you may find something. You may catch a big spotted bass. You may catch a drum. You might catch a catfish. You may catch a crappie. You're going to catch a little of it all, a big yellow cat. You just don't know. And especially when you're dropping that live bait down in there, everything loves a minnow, so you never know what you may come up with. But the everything will be, you know, like I said, pushed in behind there. And some will start easing up in those creek mouths. In those creek mouths, some of them that doesn't have current coming out, like a big slough, like you say alligator or Mill Creek, won't have any current coming out of it. So it creates a little calm water on a more or less a line between the river and it right in there, and you hunt those spots and get right there too. And they're just going to be sitting there waiting there in ambush bait. The bait's going to be coming out of there too. They're going to be starting to migrate back up in some of those bigger sloughs and creeks too right now.
All
so
right.
They're going to be following the bait. You know, that's where everything's going to be.
Well, how'd your opening weekend go? Did you see any good bucks go down?
There was several of them. I saw several of them on Facebook, guys around here. My youngest, he got a little old 6-point, and another hunter with us, Brody Sims, he killed a little old 3 or 4-point, a little old cull buck, had a long cow horn on one side. So, you know, a lot of activity right now. And it usually is, you know, it's first part of season until they go into that, you know, December hide. And once December gets in, they, you know, everything seems to vanish. They go in a hole until rut. But right now, they're still seeing a few bucks right now.
We were talking, I was talking earlier today with Matt Brock. He's a technical assistance biologist with the state. And, you know, right now up in the northwest part of the state, up around Bankhead National Forest and Black Warrior Wildlife Management Area, they're in full peak rut right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we got an interesting article that's coming out in the December issue of Great Days Outdoors about Alabama's, really, we got such a mixed up rut. There's actually 7 different unique rut zones in Alabama, and if you're willing to travel, you can hunt the rut from the opening, some phase of the rut, you can hunt it from the opening day of bow season until the last day of rifle season. It's a pretty unique situation. Up there where you hunt, Joe, when do y'all see peak, I would say chasing, I won't say peak breeding. When are the bucks really on their feet?
That's going to be usually that last 2 weeks in January is when it really gets cranked up. And thank goodness they've given us, you know, that little bit over into February. But, you know, that's when ours is really going then.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, like you said, because I got a friend that hunts over in Georgia. And he comes back over this way, you know, around a little after Christmas and starts hunting. He said, theirs is over with by, you know, middle of December over there.
Yep. Yep, it is. It's funny. We're going to be covering rut reports every week. Y'all can check that out on the Hunting Land podcast, where we're covering rut reports and waterfowl migrations for all over the state. So y'all check that out. Joe, thanks for the report, man. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too.